Beautiful song, beautifully sung. I told Lynn last week that that's one of my favorite songs because the music was written by a good friend of our family, George Beverly Shea. And he put that music together because when he was a young man, his mother set the words to that poem on the piano, and she suggested that maybe he could come up with some music to go with it. And it was providential because it was at a point in his life when he was trying to decide on his direction. He'd been offered, I believe, a recording contract with RCA. He was already known as a singer. But he was trying to decide whether he was going to go the route of singing secular music or sacred. And that little poem and composing the music for it helped him make his decision. And then, of course, a number of years later, he was invited by Billy Graham to travel with Mr. Graham and sing every night before Mr. Graham would preach. And I remember Bev Shea saying that he had one question for Mr. Graham when that invitation was issued. He said, "Would I have to say anything?" And Mr. Graham said, No, I don't want you to talk at all. I just want you to sing." And Bev said, "That's perfectly fine. That's exactly the way I'd want it to be." And of course, they spent their lives in ministry together. And when Billy Graham came to San Diego in 1976, Bev Shea came and sang in our living room one night. The year that my father turned 60, we had a number of people call him from around the country and around the world, and Bev Shea was one. He called up early, I think it was midweek sometime, and my father had already left for work, and the phone call came through, and all we heard at first was piano, and then we heard Bev Shea singing "Happy Birthday" to my father. Couldn't quite get the word through to him that my father wasn't there, that he'd already left for work. So then he had to do the performance all over again, singing "Happy Birthday" over the phone and playing at his Steinway. Anyway, wonderful friend of our family, and I learned to play that song on the piano when I was just a boy. My sister-in-law taught me. Don't ask me to play the piano now. I don't remember anything of it, but it's been a meaningful song to me through my Christian journey. And it reminds me, you know, that it's one thing to begin a journey. It's another thing to complete it. It's one thing to begin your walk with Christ. It's another thing to follow Him for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 years. That's more of a challenge, really. And John gives us some direction in this next section of his letter as to how we stay on course through the Christian life. Listen for God's word to you from 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 29. "As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him." May God add His blessing to the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures. So John identifies three closely related steps to staying the course of the Christian life. And the first step is to allow what we have heard from the beginning to remain in us. 6 times in these 6 verses, John uses the same verb, sometimes translated as remain, or continue, or abide. The verb appears 3 times in verse 24 alone. John obviously loves this verb. I don't know if you've ever fallen in love with a verb. I'm a writer and I enjoy words. We're not all like that, but John is obviously in love with this verb. What does it mean? It means that we need to allow what we have heard from the beginning to take up permanent residence in us, to make a settled home in our hearts. There are times when we need to go back to the basics of the Christian life and sort of have a refresher course. I had a friend who used to say that he thought every 5 years we should forget everything we ever learned about Jesus and start from the beginning. And there's something to that. We need to sometimes go back to the beginning and catch that sort of refreshing vibrance that was there in our early walk with Christ. And that's something of what John is talking about here. What are some of the basic truths of the Christian life that we most need to remember and put into practice? Well, we've mentioned them already a few times in our study of 1 John. I believe that most of all we need to remember God loves us. God loves you. He loves me. God calls us to love Him in response with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Think about it. If we just focus on remembering and living out those truths, we would stay on course in our walk with Jesus Christ, even if we forgot everything else. Stories told of Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers. You know, some number of people pointed out to me last week when we had our walk to the beach, it was in the middle of a Patriots game. You know, how could the pastor do that? Well, the pastor did it because the pastor is not a sports fan. Just I have nothing against the Patriots. It's just that I don't even know what's going on. So I'm dependent on you reminding me of these things. I'm sure we'll take another walk to the beach when the Patriots game isn't on television. But I do know something about Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers. One day he was speaking to his team in the locker room after a horrible loss. And Lombardi, holding a football aloft, said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Sometimes we need to go back to the basics. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And if we receive Him into our lives, we're going to live with Him forever. And His love will always live within us. Sometimes we just need to go back to those basics. So that's the first thing. John says, let abide in you those things that you have heard from the beginning. The second thing is to allow God's anointing to teach us. If we want to avoid being led astray by all the false teaching that is in the world, John tells us we have to allow God's anointing to teach us. And the Greek word that's translated to lead astray is an interesting one. It's planao, from which we get our English word planet. The Greeks contrasted the planets, which they observed as wandering, or as we would say, revolving around the sun. They contrasted those with the stars, which to their naked eyes remained fixed. In that sense, the anointing of God is our North Star. guiding us amidst all the changes of this life. You know, in the Hebrew Scriptures, three different types of people received anointing: prophets, priests, and kings. And Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those roles. He is our great prophet, priest, and king. He is our Messiah, which means anointed one. So if He lives within us, we have the anointing of God. It's not just certain special people that have the anointing. It's not just the great prophets and priests and kings. It's anyone who has received Jesus Christ into their life. So when and how do we receive that anointing? John may be thinking here of the anointing that comes to the Christian via the Holy Spirit at baptism. Acts 8:17 talks about this. The anointing is also connected with our initial teaching. The teaching that the Christian receives. We see that in 1 John 2:24 and 27. We also need to remember that the anointing of the Holy Spirit works through the Word. They always work in conjunction with one another, the Scriptures and the Spirit. You know, I think we've all witnessed, perhaps some of us more times than others, depending on our age, the whole process in the Catholic Church of the cardinals of the Catholic Church electing a new pope. You know, today is the feast day of St. Francis, after whom our current pope is named. And it's my understanding that every pope is anointed with oil when he becomes a bishop. Now, I know all of us have a tendency, whether we have a Catholic background or not, to look to the Pope or to a bishop or a priest or a minister or some preacher on television as having a special anointing from God. Now, while it may be true that the Lord anoints certain people for certain special works at certain times, I think what John is telling us is that all of us, as followers of Jesus, we have an anointing from God through the Holy Spirit. Yes, there are great teachers and leaders that we can learn things from. But we each have an anointing from God if the Holy Spirit's living in us, if we've received Jesus as our leader and forgiver. We have an anointing that teaches us and guides us. So to stay the course of the Christian life, we need to remember those things we've heard from the beginning, which we have in the Scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit of God and His anointing. And then the third step is simply to abide in Christ. Scripture, Spirit, Jesus Christ. That's all that we need. John urges us to abide continually in Christ. If we do this, then we'll be ready for Jesus when He comes again. I think John here is recalling the teaching of Jesus from John chapter 15, from the Gospel, where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So how do we abide in Christ? How do we stay connected to Him? Well, we've already talked about one way we do that, by allowing His teaching to dwell in us, by soaking ourselves in the teaching of Christ, by reading and meditating on the Scriptures, but especially on the Gospels, where we have the teaching of Jesus. But we also abide in Christ through prayer. That's how we communicate with Him. But it's also important, I think, sometimes just to be quiet in prayer and allow Jesus to speak to us. I think a third essential means of grace or abiding in Christ is the Lord's Supper, which we're going to celebrate this morning. It's not by accident that we call it Holy Communion. Because as we partake in faith, we truly commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we abide in Him. And then I think a fourth important means of grace is the fellowship of God's people. Isn't it wonderful that we're gathering again together, albeit with our masks and some separation between one another, but it's good just to be together. We need those tangible reminders of the fellowship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads me to one final point that John makes in this section of his letter, and that is that abiding in Christ will manifest itself in righteous living. If we remain connected to the love of Jesus, then that love will flow forth from us to others in word and in deed. And of course, I think the most important way we show the love of Christ is more by our actions than by our words. Anglican priest and author Michael Green shares this story to remind us of the impact of our actions long before our words. He says that he read about a missionary candidate in language school. And the first day of class, the teacher entered the room. And without saying a word, she walked down every row of students, back and forth. And finally, without saying a word, she walked out of the room again. And then she came back and she addressed the class and she said, "Did you notice anything special about me?" And nobody could think of anything in particular. And finally, one student timidly raised her hand and she said, "I noticed that you were wearing an especially lovely perfume today." And everybody laughed. And the teacher said, "Yes, that was exactly my point." She said, "It will be a long time before any of you will be able to speak Chinese well enough to share the gospel with anyone in China. But even before you are able to do that, you can minister the sweet fragrance of Christ to these people by the quality of your life." St. Francis of Assisi is reported to have said these classic words, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." And Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He says, For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. What kind of fragrance are we spreading in the lives of others? Is it an aroma of life or of death? Do we speak life words to each other, words that lift up and encourage, or do we speak death words to others? If we abide in Christ, if we stay connected to Him at all times, by allowing His Word to remain in us, by allowing His anointing of the Holy Spirit to teach us, then we will spread the sweet aroma of His love wherever we go. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this simple reminder from John of the basics of the Christian life, that we need to allow Your teaching, Your Word, found in the Scriptures, to remain in us, especially those basic truths of Your love and the way You've called us to love You and others in response. And You want Your anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to teach us. You want us to stay connected to Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the vine and we are the branches. Help us to do that, not just week by week, but day by day and moment by moment. As we read the Scriptures, as we pray, as we partake of Holy Communion together, and as we live in community, the body of Christ, not only here in this local place, but we thank you also for the communion we have with all saints all across the world today. We thank you for the way we have an opportunity to recognize that on this World Communion Sunday. And not only communion with all those who are living, but all those saints who have gone before us, who are now with you in glory. We thank you for that living connection we have with them, and even more importantly with you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen.